Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller is here, and the big news reporting today that FedBid, the reverse auction company that's now headed by former OFPP Administrator Joe Jordan, will split into two companies. What's the significance of this announcement, and what does FedBid look like now that it's not the FedBid that we knew as of yesterday?
I'm not sure it's going to look that much different. I mean, obviously, the people who run it, and Joe Jordan, as you mentioned, is not going to be the CEO of this FedBid Federal, whatever they're going to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And Ali Sadat, who has been the founder and the CEO for many years, is going to be the head of the commercial side. And you know, what Joe Jordan told me was that Ali Sadat is a serial entrepreneur. He always likes to go and invent something new and move on. So this is probably part of that effort. Now, as we know, FedBid has been in some hot water lately. In the last couple months, September timeframe, there was a very scathing IG report from the Veterans Affairs Department. And basically, they said that FedBid and a senior procurement executive at the time over at VA had committed some pretty close to criminal acts. Now, we're not going to call them criminal, but it was, dishonest. It was not, didn't look good. It smelled bad. Yeah. Everything, all the acronym, all the things you can say to it. So what it looks like is that they split up because of this. Now, yes. I spoke with Joe Jordan personally, and he said that is not the case. Mm-hmm. He goes, despite this IG report, this has been in the works. This move to commercial sector versus federal sector has been in the works for a better part of a year, if not more. And he goes, it just was timing that we wanted to kick it off in January 1st, basically.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's the key piece here. Now, to the rest of us who maybe are on the outside, it is a bit of a head scratcher to say, well, maybe they decided to split off and they were pushed or they were told to, and maybe they got it done a little faster than maybe expected. But Joe told me under no circumstance did the IG report impact their decision to split off federal and commercial.
Well, I don't claim to be an expert on the business model or business practices of FedBid either, but my guess just by looking at the name of the company is that primarily their business was focused around the federal government. And if they're going to now develop a separate company and go after the commercial market, that makes a little sense, but it also, I could see why you'd want that company to be named something that's not FedBid. But it also is the fact that they are going to form this entirely new commercial entity. It kind of reinforces your idea that the timing is interesting, I guess.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that reverse auctions has come under a lot of pressure, a lot of scrutiny over the last year. Whether or not this VAIG report came out, the GAO had put a report out. There's members of Congress that are looking for OFPP Administrator Ann Rung, the current one, to issue guidance. So there's a lot around reverse auctions that's happening. So, moving into the commercial market also makes sense for them from a business standpoint as well.
Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller, you can read his report on the split of FedBid at federalnewsradio.com. It's one of our top stories this afternoon. Inside the reporter's notebook, I love it. Every 2 weeks, you put together all of the things that you have turned up in your reporting, but that didn't make it into other reports. And this week, it's the deadline that the Office of Management and Budget is setting for agencies to set up their own digital offices. Now, we've seen the Department of Veterans Affairs set up the office that Marina Martin heads there. Other agencies are already starting down this road. Why did OMB think that it was necessary to give agencies a hard deadline when so many appeared to be cooperating with this voluntarily and buy into the concept of having one?
I think what OMB is doing, and this comes through the IT Passback, and if you're not familiar with the IT Passback, that's the Passback budget guidance that goes out every year to agencies. There's always one that focuses on technology policy. It's a great game of cat and mouse that I love to play with my quote-unquote friends at OMB.
You're the Passback guru.
I try. It's a lot of fun to get it, and or at least try to get it and figure out what's in it. And this was the instructions in the Passback to say by October 1, so roughly 9 months, set up a digital services group within your agency. And I think the reason why they're heading down this path is because they see the value of it. You mentioned VA. We can talk about GSA and 18F as another example. And even OMB's own digital services group led by Mikey Dickerson, the value is clear. And they say, you know what? If this can work in these three agencies, or at least these two agencies to start, I think VA is just really getting going. Then why can't it work at EPA, at an Interior, at USDA, so on and so forth? Now, what the Passback guidance tells agencies is October 1st deadline, set it up. And use a percentage of your IT budget to hire people, not hire contractors. And I think this is very important. Hire people. Now, what that percentage is, it depends on your IT budget. Every agency has a different IT budget, of course. Mm-hmm. That percentage is going to be different for each agency. So I didn't even bother asking because obviously that would be bad for my sources. At the same time, what OMB is trying to do here is say, we know that 18F can't handle all the new work. And we know that USDS in OMB can't handle all the emergencies. So why not start building this capability, getting these skills in-house, and then helping them hit upon their most important priority projects one by one.
You mentioned the time frame is 9 months.
Roughly October 1 is the deadline OMB has set.
Okay. What kind of reaction are you getting from people across the IT community and government?
The federal CIOs I've spoken with are very positive about this. They think this is actually a very good thing. The two, if you will, minor concerns are, one, how much will OMB really bring down the hammer and make this happen? Mm-hmm. Now, I think that the OMB, what I've been told is they are meeting with agencies throughout the month of January to talk about implementation plans, make sure they have a plan in place for how they're going to pull this new office together in February, and then they can start moving out. The other piece is, if you're hiring these people and I'm hiring these people and this person over here is hiring these people, are there enough people to go around to hire? And I think that's a big, big concern for CIOs because industry is also hiring these skilled people who understand digital, understand agile development, understand the concept of coming in and looking at a project in a way that's very customer focused, user centric. That those are skills that are not huge in the community. So if everyone's fighting for the same people, can they really hire those people and can they pay them enough and mm-hmm. they can get them in quickly? Yeah. There's all these challenges that I think are with it. And I think the one other concern related to that is, I've heard this from several CIOs, both former and current ones. Why does OMB keep looking outside of the current government employees for talented people? There are a ton of talented senior executives, IT folks in the government today. Why not just have them work on these type of projects? And when I sat down with Mikey Dickerson, the head of the U.S. Digital Government Service at OMB, and Lisa Schlosser, the acting federal CIO, they were very clear. This is back in November. They were very clear that they are definitely wanting to attract those people inside government. Mm-hmm. I think they may have realized that maybe they created a bad feeling among feds that they were always reaching for Silicon Valley or the yeah. next expert. So they are encouraging agencies to look internally as well.
Well, as I read the information that you have inside the reporter's notebook this week, I didn't see anything there that precluded federal government hiring managers from bringing people cross-agency or bringing people from within their own agency. So it doesn't, there's maybe an implication that's not intended to be there that these are folks who are going to be new to government and coming in from outside.
There's also history. If you look at how 18F was populated, if you look at the Presidential Innovation Fellows, if you look at how the USDS was populated, many, not all, many were coming from outside government. And I think that history leads CIOs to say, well, do they want me just to go try to raid somebody in Silicon Valley or Raleigh Durham, you know, the Research Triangle part? Or are they okay if I bring in Joe? Because Joe's a really smart person and he can really do this type of work.
And
but Joe happens
government.
To be a GS-15 who has 25 years in government.
And knows what the lay of the land is inside the government,
Absolutely.
Which is a tremendous benefit. Inside the reporter's notebook, you also write about the new IT reform law, FITARA, and the implementation therein. How is that going so far? How is OMB implementing it, and how is that doing?
It's still obviously very early. It was just passed in December as part of the defense authorization bill. But what's key here is OMB and the CIO Council held a meeting just last week. And in that meeting, they started talking about how can we ensure that the FITARA bill, and specifically in this case, CIO authorities, but FITARA more broadly as well, how can it make sure that every agency is implementing it in a standard approach? They don't want inconsistencies across the government where agency one is doing it a little differently than agency two, and then Congress brings up agency one and two and goes, why are you guys so different? This is a bill. It's very clear what we want you to do. So I think that's the first step. And then they're also, and this is what I think is very smart going on from OMB, is that they're reaching out to former federal officials, former IT experts. And while I'm not allowed to name who they are, I think you can guess, Francis, they're regular guests on your show. Those types of people they're asking them, what do you suggest? They had the E-Government Act. They had Clinger-Cohen. How did you implement that? What mistakes were made that we don't want to make? What advice do you give to us? And I think that's really smart.